Well, I'm grateful to hear all your guys' feedback. This is Jazz Clinic number whatever, and tonight we're going to do two things, following the form and being creative within the form and swinging on your own, and those two things are related. But we spent some time reflecting on last week playing free for good reason. So I followed up that session with this session tonight, playing within a form, because my hope is that you can take some of the freedom that you felt in formlessness and have a form within which to be creative and explore. So when you watch kids in a, this is the question to lead off with. When you watch kids in a sandbox, what do they do? Or at play anywhere where there's like no real supervision, what happens? Do they play free always, or do they want to construct some kind of game or set of rules? What do you guys think?
They construct.
They do, right?
Yeah.
And do you think they do that more often than not? I'm not necessarily leading you to any particular answer. You think it's 50-50 or?
Almost always.
You think it's like 95%?
Yeah. The only time I've seen them play free is if they are by themselves. But even then, they sometimes try to build things, build paths, build. I mean, the first thing we did when we went out in the snowstorm, we built Snow City. We built roads, we built houses, we built schools, clinics, the whole nine yards. In snow.
Wow, you built clinics when you were a kid? You were bound to be a clinician.
That's funny.
I couldn't have set this question up more perfectly, because this, in the same way, it's hopefully going to, I'm like telling you the punchline already, but hopefully it's going to feel free to have some rules and to have some restrictions. And that's what jazz is a bit. Not a bit. It is what it is. When you invent rules, it allows for more, like, deeper play and more engagement, right? That's why kids do it. Any other insights about that particular element as it might apply to a music before we jump in more? Like the spontaneous creation of rules where none previously existed by little kids or adults at play? And someone said that they went to a tennis clinic once where the object was to hit the ball to the person as much as possible to keep the volley going. And after doing that for a while, both players were able to hit the ball wherever they wanted. So it was a lesson in ball control and, you know, interacting. But to bring it to music, it's kind of the same thing. You can play with someone or you can play against someone. There's kind of no rules, but it's definitely the someone is the other factor, you know. But so let me ask you guys, what would be the most basic type of rule that you could construct in music? You meet some musician and you sit down and you say, okay, what are we going to do? In terms of like a form, like what would you, somebody said listening and somebody said, you know, defining who's going to do what, but like, what are we going to play? Like, let's make up a rule. Like, rather than just play free, you and I. What was the word?
A groove.
She said a groove. That's exactly the word I was looking for. Well, any word like that. What does groove mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, so
sort of fit into a certain.
So by groove, she's saying like a tempo and a feel, kind of. Like a rhythm. So that would be the first thing. During the session of today, we're going to get into an actual form. And this session is going to bleed into the repertoire session of next week. So they all bleed together. The meditative one, you might not think that there's a continuum, but now you're seeing it. You know, the meditative free one, and then putting that freedom into a form, which is tonight, and then specific forms, specific tunes that everybody knows all over the world. You know, and how they all blend together. And someone else defined the groove as the pulse, the basic pulse. That's a great way to do it. So I propose we just spend a few minutes warming up on a groove. And we don't even necessarily have to decide explicitly what that's going to be. But as soon as you hear someone do a groove, we all should do something based off of that. We're not going to do it for 25 minutes like we did last week. But just 2 or 3 minutes, or however long it takes to establish a groove, and then just jam on it for a couple minutes. Might as well say it now. Somebody brought it up, might as well address it right now. Somebody said, well, shouldn't we address a key? And technically that would come next. So for right now, any of the 12 notes work, but as soon as a groove is established, go with the groove, whatever groove that is. In order to establish a groove, just play free until it happens. instructed the group to do their own thing, but also listen to the whole thing and try and contribute something instead of just playing random stuff within the groove. Layer after the groove was, what did you say before?
The key.
Yeah. So you have, how many keys are there? Not being funny.
12.
Yep. Or if you think of it as, what'd you say?
If you add minors.
I was looking for that. So really there's like 24. Is that what you said?
No.
So, well, yeah, but let's just say 24 for now.
Yeah, 24.
So we have 24 keys, and whose birthday is coming up next? So the person whose birthday is coming up, did you say D minor, like in the saddest of all keys, like in Spinal Tap?
Did you do that?
Right, so now it's anything you want in D minor, again, any groove, whoever, whatever evolves. And whatever kind of D minor, doesn't matter. You don't have to say, you know, what are we doing, Dorian or whatever. It doesn't have to be like that. D, you know, we could have even just said D and leave it open end. So I actually skipped a step. We could have just said D is the tonic, and it could be major or minor, but oh well, we skipped it, so we'll keep going with D minor. After the groove and the key, what would be the next step? For the form would be an interim step called a vamp, V-A-M-P. Who knows what that means? Repetitive harmonic, usually it's harmonic based. Like D minor and let's say one other chord could be a vamp. A vamp could be whatever length, but it's an indeterminate, it's a repeating section of indeterminate length. That's really what it is. So what if we pick a different, another chord that kind of goes with D minor? So the suggestion is A. By the way, the other chord doesn't even necessarily have to be diatonic to D minor. That would lead to some interesting results, but we're not going to go there tonight. So the suggestion is A. Usually vamps are in even numbers, like 2 or 4 bars, and they're short. So the suggestion was to do a 2-bar vamp, 1-bar D minor, 1-bar G7, and you just keep going around. So let's just see how that feels. One who called the vamp will set us up. Try to bring the same freedom that you had before. You can do anything you want, listen to the whole group, but still do whatever you want within that context. So you don't have to just play chords, you can do whatever you want. Was I brought my little friend here, the looper, because we're gonna play the groove. What I was hoping to do is pair you guys up with whoever is next to you, and we'll rotate around for those instruments that can rotate. But I'm gonna use the looper to set up the vamp, and so no one has to hold it down, and you're just gonna play off your partner freely. So I'm gonna demonstrate with a volunteer. So here we go. Thank you. and it sounds cool. I think it's interesting that two guitars happen to... So it's interesting, like, hopefully we're respecting each other's space, but not being so cautious about stepping on each other's toes either, right? And so sometimes we're always interacting, but not in a prescribed way. There were times where we're answering each other. There are times where we were playing at the same time. There's times when I'm busy, and there's times when I'm laying back. There's times if I feel like I'm taking over, then I'm gonna immediately step back. I played in duet with another musician, and it's fun playing duets. And sometimes we play collectively, like collective improv with no harmonic backdrop. We should do that too, but we'll get to that. But sometimes I feel like I'm taking over just because, like, I'm on adrenaline. That's what I shoot before I go to a gig. Just kidding. That's actually not funny when you consider steroids and sports and stuff. But on gigs, you know, you're just filled with adrenaline. So, and then I realize I'm taking over, so I immediately step back, you know. And then it forces them, there's nothing else going on, so it forces them to come back. But I'm digressing. I'm just explaining the dynamics. And this demonstration is the duet of a bass player and a pianist while the groove is going on. Cool, thank you guys very much. So we're gonna do it with the groove, with the loop for a few minutes, and then we're gonna do the exact same thing without the loop, just to see what happens. So just go next to your partner and have fun. And if you guys want, if you're both mobile and you want to go far away from everybody else, that's fine too. For drummers and people like that, you can't. This is so cool. Everybody's interacting with each other. The next part is to do it without a vamp. Now, it's easier when you know the sort of chord tones and you can outline those chord tones if necessary to outline which change you're on. But if you're just playing by ear, that's fine too. But can I get a volunteer who is going to interact with me on the vamp without hearing the vamp? So, vocals and guitar. 2, 3, go. More repetitive, which is totally cool. It's something that I can have fun grooving around. And then when she was exploring, I was encouraging that. So hopefully it's fun, and you don't feel like you were just being repetitive just because you felt like you had to support the harmony, which isn't there. You just wanted to genuinely support it. So that's what we're gonna do. It's very interesting. Some people were doing more dynamic stuff. Some people were doing like more even like trade. It was like implicit that it was understood that, you know, you play then I play, which is fine. And other people were just doing where a keyboard and a trumpet. The keyboard was just naturally gravitating towards chords, and the trumpet naturally gravitated towards. So it's all good stuff. Very interesting. Somebody said it was two vocalists who were together that once they decided what they were going to do, they were able to harmonize it. As a side note. Well, on the clinic I went to in June, we had to break out into two, into groups of two, and this was, and you're talking unamplified electric guitars, like 200 people in the room, so there was a lot of distraction to filter out. But you, so, but me and this guy went out in the hall, and the assignment was, you, the first person comes up with a lick, and the second person has to harmonize it based on whatever they're doing. And you're allowed to discuss, and it includes not just the lick, but the actual expressive elements within the lick, like vibrato, and, you know, so that would have been interesting for the singers to explore as well. It was so much fun. I loved that part. And then you would switch roles, and you would be the leader. So it's really fun. But what happens is, if you're going to just jam for half an hour on one particular chord progression, what starts to happen to your ear, you know, as opposed to just playing completely free, is there a disadvantage, I guess is what I'm getting at, is there a disadvantage to just hearing the same implied harmony over and over for a long period of time, yes or no, and if so, what is it? Somebody said what I was looking for, you get bored. There's like a, there's like a harmonic, you're still, your ear can only go so far. You could try and stretch it if you wanted to, but, yeah, like you lose your,
you get into a zone.
You get in the zone and it's less innovative. So, be, right, so the other disadvantage, like you tend to gravitate away from dissonance. So one way to, but we see a progression, like we're free, but we find the form we created a little limiting. So what if we were little kids and the game that we're playing, the rules are not really working out? Well, what do they do? Well, they either scrap it completely and go to a different game, or what does someone do, one kid do? They invent a new rule, in other words, extend the form. And hence we're going to get into an actual form of music. And this, like I said, this session blends into next week, which is repertoire, which is tunes that you should all know, like memorized, like so you can get off a plane with a blindfold. You don't even know what country you're in or what language they speak. And they take the blindfold off and you start playing this song and instantly you make friends. And we're going to start with Take the A Train. What I would say is, we won't even, when we do the exchange thing, we won't even do the whole form. We'll just do the first 8 bars. However, let's just get familiar with the tune and play through the whole form. Now we're grooving to Take the A Train. I put the looper on and everybody's doing their own thing to it. Play with the same thing we did before. You're going to do duets or, you know, freely, but with the form. Then I'm going to shut the thing off. We'll do it as well. But first we'll do it with the form. Here we go. In partners. Here we go. This is great. You guys are, it seems like a lot of fun. Everybody's having fun. And we're going to segue into the next bit. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to actually play in pairs without accompaniment and rotate, right? Where we're headed with all this is internalizing the form. See, all these things are related. And this is the lesson. It's a tough lesson, and I'm not even sure how well I'm going to pull it off, but here we go. From one side is complete freedom, which we did last week. Next week is complete memorization of the tune, which will happen, hopefully. Right? You'll all memorize Take the A Train. And they go hand in hand. You memorize a thing, and you would think that's the exact opposite of freedom. But now that you memorize it and you know it, and you don't have to stare at a piece of paper, you're free to take it wherever and however you want and be perfectly comfortable. And that's why we play standard tunes in jazz. So people get the wrong impression. You know, I have to play it right or something. So I want to do the free thing first to let you guys hear about, you're still being free, but we just create these rules in order to enable that freedom, not to restrict you. So you can do this at any level you're at, but the more you memorize the tunes, the more free you can be. But tonight, we're doing a hybrid where you're having fun within a form with just one person, and it's also gonna lead to another part of it, which is, it goes like this, if you can't swing on your own, you can't swing with a band. One of the most illuminating sessions I ever had, I will tell you about in a few minutes. By far the most eye-opening jazz workshop I ever went to, I will tell you about in a few minutes. It's a very good question. Like, she's saying, well, what is wrong, what is right, if you want to go off? Nothing is wrong, nothing is right. As long as both people know where they are in the form. The form is sacred. And that's the point of today's lesson. You both should know where you are in the form. Other than that, there's no rules. Now, granted, if you know how to harmony, and you know, like, your chord tones, like C, you know, you're jamming on Take the A Train, which is like C and D7. If you know it's C, E, G, and B on the C chord, and D, F sharp, A, and C for the D7, you can use those tones as anchors to keep yourself grounded. But other than that, there's no rule. This leads me to the thing about the clinic. One time, I don't know what was going on before the clinic, before this moment, but the guy was like, all right, stop, everybody stop, everybody stop. If you can't swing with a band, you can't swing. If you can't swing on your own, you can't swing with a band. So I want everybody to take an entire chorus by yourself. And we were all scared to death. And we had to get up, like, stand up there and go, three, four. And play the whole form like that, and not until I was done completely would it be the next person's turn. Now I'm going to be a little nicer than that. But not much. I'm not gonna make you do all 32 bars, but how about 8 a piece?
Yeah.
Right? You have to keep where you are in the form, and we'll go around like that. Right? I'll go first. 1, 2. A 1, 2, 3. But first, I'm going to just explain why we're doing what we're doing. You're creating form awareness, and you're able to keep the form, no problem. Imagine practicing like that with no accompaniment. And I'm going to demonstrate. And the more familiar you are with the tune itself, and the more rhythmically confident you are, and those are all things you can work on separately, the more free you can be. I'm not gonna, maybe I'll take a whole chorus, we'll see, but at least, let me just, 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. And in a way, I was kind of deliberately trying to take it out a little bit. Not that, so I really wasn't being free because I was, you know, pretensing or whatever the word is. But I hope that you were able to hear the form because my awareness of the form was strong, right? And hopefully my rhythm was strong enough. I'm not saying it was, but I hope, you know, you guys were pretty much able to follow where I was in the tune, even though I stretched it a bit, right?
So if you're into a certain part.
Right, so, and I'm fully aware that sometimes I need to come back, like, for myself and for the listener, too. So that was all somewhat on purpose. But if you're uncomfortable practicing like that, there's different levels. That would be the total bass level. Next level is you just put it on 2 and 4, the metronome. No, I'm not going to go through the whole demonstration, but, you know. Heard that?
What were you
doing? The metronome was on 2 and 4. So it was at 65. The tempo is obviously 130, so I put it at 65 and I made it on 2 and 4. And then the next level is you actually get a device like a harmonic metronome like we did with the looper or your iReal Pro or whatever. But by stripping it down and back again, you develop form awareness with it, and then there is freedom in it. I hope I'm tying this in. So that my hope is that when you're playing jazz in the future, you realize it's not there's no such thing as playing correct. The only sort of rule is the rule we established in the sandbox, which was the form. And the form happens to be take the A train. And the only reason we call take the A train is not to play it quote correctly, but so that we have an agreed upon set of rules. By saying those four words, take the A train, and hearing the tempo, we have immediately established two rules, the tune and the tempo, and the feel, I guess. And we're free beyond that. We don't have to spend our time in the sandbox debating what rules we should impose or not, right? Any other feedback, comments from tonight? The feedback is a big one. It teaches you to listen first. Listen first. And people say that, and what does that mean? Like, I was listening to the sax player, great sax player and educator named Jerry Bergonzi. Anybody familiar with him? And he says, what are the top 10 things you need to know to be a great jazz musician? I just heard this the other day. He goes, 1, listen. 2, listen. 3, listen. 4, listen. But then, you know, it's as funny as that is, what does that really mean? And you experienced it tonight. It's wonderful feedback. And that this second part of the feedback is absolutely perfect to set us up for next week. Because not every session is going to be loosey-goosey, you know, what does my friend say, a cosmic foo-foo, where we meditate and feel good, and we're going to feel good the whole rest of the time, because now you've established that as a baseline, that you can always go to that place. That's why I had you guys close your eyes for 2 minutes tonight. So that's never going to go away, but having established that, now we are going to do some more left brain, you know, logical side stuff, which is actually learn the melody like perfectly, and learn the harmony. Memorize the chords, you know, maybe not so much for singers or whatever, but you can at least memorize the melody and be able to do it so that everyone should be able to play the melody like perfectly in unison by next time. If you have trouble, let me know. But does that make sense? And we're going to still keep our feel good place, but we can't, if I just ran a clinic with that, would it really make you guys better musicians? It might make you more confident and more open and stuff, but it's not going, certainly not going to increase your jazz vocabulary. So someone else teaching or observing from the outside would say, yeah, that's all good, but you're not really teaching them the jazz language, right? So you do have to spend time doing that, and certainly the memorizing the chords and the lyrics is the place to start. And that sets us up for a repertoire for next week. We're going to take the A-Train. The other two charts I have to give out, we're not doing next week, but, well, depending on how it goes, there are other tunes you really have to know, like have to know, and they are All the Things You Are and Green Dolphin Street. But the homework for this week is just take the A-Train. If we have to spill the repertoire session into two other sessions, that's fine.